It's been a century since Auguste Rodin died. Many museums around the world have a casting of his iconic work, The Thinker, but the one at the Cleveland Museum of Art stands apart because of something that happened nearly 50 years after the French sculptor's death. Chief curator Heather Lamonides is standing in an airy gallery flanked by some of Rodin's best-known works. The Romantic Age of Bronze is to one side, and across the room sits a bust of the squinting, mustachioed French author Balzac.
The Cleveland Museum and Rodin go way back, if you will.
Back to 1917. Rodin's most recognizable work, though, is probably The Thinker, the iconic figure of a man, chin resting on fist, stoically sitting atop a rock.
The Thinker was a work that was given to us very, very early in our history, in fact, by Ralph King, who gave it to the museum right around the time that we were founded.
For decades, The Thinker sat undisturbed, greeting visitors outside the museum's south entrance in University Circle. But early in the hours of March 24, 1970, dynamite blew it off its pedestal.
I'm not much for speculation. We've received no warnings, no notices, no phone calls, and we simply haven't the foggiest idea of who could have done it.
That's Executive Director Sherman Lee speaking to WEWS-TV the day after the bombing. The blast caused catastrophic damage, turning the Thinker's once perfectly sculpted feet into jagged strips of metal. In the months and years to come, speculation surfaced that it could have been a faction of the radical group the Weather Underground. But to this day, Leslie Cade, the director of museum archives, says the bombing officially remains unsolved.
They wrote on the side of the pedestal four words, "Off the ruling class." And this was a fairly common phrase that dissidents used during the period.
I think if you're looking at University Circle in 1970 at the time of the Rodin bombing, the previous 3 or 4 years had seen a rise of radicalism in the area.
That's John Grabowski, chief historian for the Western Reserve Historical Society. The Vietnam War raged on, and the wounds of the assassination of both Martin Luther King Jr. and Bobby Kennedy were still fresh.
I would say that a bomb going off on campus, as weird as, wasn't an unexpected thing given what was happening in the world and in the nation.
And the city's demographics were changing. Nearby East Cleveland was becoming more and more African American, while many in the mostly working class white neighborhood of Little Italy felt disconnected from the surrounding area.
Well, the aftermath after the bombing is a question as to why someone would assault one of the crown jewels of the city of Cleveland, which is its Museum of Art.
Grabowski says some saw the Cleveland Museum of Art as elitist and out of touch, despite the museum's free admission and its own founding principle, for the benefit of all the people forever. But he says for the vast majority, the Thinker bombing was too extreme.
Certainly it was greeted by those people who, knew and loved the Circle with abhorrence. This was a step too far.
Today, the Thinker still sits on that shredded metal base.
It was a very deliberate decision not to attempt to repair the sculpture because the damage was so extensive.
Again, Chief Curator Heather Lamonides.
Not just to the legs, but also to other parts of the body, and the body of the sculpture became slightly warped because of the bomb.
If you get close enough, you can actually peer into the massive fissure the blast left and see the sculpture's inner workings.
The life of a work of art is very long, and this is part of the life of the work of art. I think that to erase that or to try to hide that in any way would be disingenuous somehow.
The Cleveland Museum's Thinker is one of the last ever cast under Rodin's supervision. According to the museum, there are fewer than 10 in this select group. However, the explosion nearly 50 years ago during a time of turmoil makes this Rodin truly one of a kind. With this week's State of the Arts, I'm Mark Earhart, 89.7 WKSU.